Welcome to the continued podcast adventures of Superhero Speak.
But I think many of the people that love this character and that love superheroes in general have used these stories as inspiration to say, you know what? I'm going to do something good in the world. I'm going to make a difference like my hero when I was a kid.
That is my fondest memory of it, because when you're doing comic books, you want them to affect people.
Right.
You want people to care. You want to strike emotions. And I knew that Clone Saga was striking a lot of emotions.
Can you imagine Pulp Fiction starring Goofy and Mickey Mouse?
I can totally imagine that.
I'm sure somebody's written that one.
Quarter pounder with cheese in France, Mickey? What? Boy, ale with cheese. Yeah. I can totally
see.
I would watch the hell out of that movie.
Yes, I gladly sacrifice that my progeny to you, a mighty Marvel beast.
But Neil Adams is somewhere going, it's my time.
How do you measure success?
Hey everyone, you are listening to Superhero Speak,
and I'm your host Dave.
And John.
And this week, boys and girls, JD is out again. He had a family thing to attend to. But we got one of the best replacement hosts in the world. He is the host of the one and only Fans on Patrol. And, of course, that is Montego Bradley. How are you doing, sir?
Man, I'm pretty good. I like that intro, dude. One of the best in the world. Yes, I agree. Thanks for having me on, man. I really appreciate it, man. It's a beautiful thing. I miss y'all, man. It's been a while since I've been able to talk to y'all and sit down and just come into the comic book shop and just talk nerd stuff. It's beautiful, man, you know?
Well, that's what happens when you avoid us like that.
I mean, not that
anybody could blame you.
It's changed since the mafia fell apart.
Yeah, we haven't talked since the breakup, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which had nothing to do with me, so.
There you go. You're in the clear.
That's right.
Now, apparently it was all me, so.
No. Oh, shit. Some things don't last forever, man, but you know, whatever, man, we're still cool, so I'm here.
Well, that's all that matters.
Awesome.
So I mean, you're not normally on the show, but normally, you know, you start off by saying, how's everyone doing? Do you have any exciting stories from the week?
Well, no, man, you know, I was really, really, really busy for like 2 years, and then all of a sudden my journey completed and I was no longer busy, and it took me like a few weeks to like not feel like I was busy. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden I got used to just doing nothing. So I've been like being the biggest loser on the planet, man. I come home from work and I've been playing Resident Evil and scare myself to death, and then nice. I've been watching all the shows that I missed, like Flash and Arrow and Legends of Tomorrow and Gotham, and I just been watching television, man, and it's like the greatest thing in the world. And if anybody think I'm a loser, you're right, because it's
completely unapologetic.
Indeed, my friend.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear you're enjoying yourself. That's the important thing.
Yes, sir. Indeed.
How about you, John? Anything exciting this past week?
Well, like our esteemed new co-host here, I have tried to catch up with all the DC stuff, seeing as how they are really trying to make it so that no human possible can keep up with every one of their DC series. I just caught up with Black Lightning. I'm all caught up with Arrow from last season. Mm-hmm. And of course, on top of that, I'm also keeping up to date with all the latest anime that comes out. So, this week's suggestion is go check out Thunderbolt Fantasy. Now there's anime, and then there's and I mentioned this today before we started recording, Japanese Taiwanese glove puppetry.
That just sounds funny.
in the vein of like the old Thunderbirds.
Ooh,
but really well done, and with like anime style attacks. I mean, I can't, I mean, in 10 minutes, I can't tell you, I could not count how many sets they must have destroyed, like physical sets they destroyed in doing the effects for some of these attacks. And that's only like the first 10 minutes. I haven't even gotten into like what the actual story is. The whole opening is just one big battle scene. So yeah, that's, you know, beyond that, you know, as soon as we get off of here, I'm going to watch the next episode of Slime Art Online, also known as That Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime. And that one's still going well. So yeah, other than that, nothing much this week. Just trying to catch up with work and, you know, same old, same old.
Speaking of work, I got into, I wouldn't say a big argument, but I got into an argument with a coworker today.
I don't remember arguing with you.
No. About Captain America: Civil War.
Oh boy.
Oh, dude, you always take the wrong side of that, though.
No. Hold on. So he was saying that he had just rewatched it over the weekend, and he was like, I can't remember exactly how he said it, but he was like, Captain America was a terrible character in that movie, and I'm like, what? And in Civil War. So his point was that, he sided with Bucky, and he shouldn't have sided with Bucky because Bucky killed Tony's parents. And I'm like,
that's not the point.
And he's like, and I said, what do you mean he sided with him? He kept him from killing Bucky. And he's like, well, maybe he should have let him. And he said he was being selective. He had selective morals because, you know, because it was his friend, he was allowing, you know, letting him go. And I'm like, no, I think you missed the point. Like, so.
Like mind control? Like,
mind control doesn't count, man. You know, you're not responsible. Get out of here.
Right. Yeah. But it's also the fact that, like Bucky, he grew up with Bucky. You know, he grows up with him. They join the army together. They go fight World War II together. Like, that was his, more than a friend, that was his, like, brother. You know?
Yeah. So, brotherhood makes you do things, you know, whether or not it's right or wrong. But in this case, I feel he was fully justified, you know, like you said, mind control. Yeah, that's it. I mean,
hey, what are you gonna do, you know, say no, just because your body did it, you know, whatever.
Well, it was his fault for being mind controlled.
And again, you should have been a better hero and not got control.
Yeah.
And again, like, because he said, oh, because he also beat up Tony. And I'm like, yeah, but the whole point was he was trying to stop Tony from killing Bucky. He didn't try to kill Tony. He was just stopping him, and Tony wasn't going to give up. Like, so.
Yeah. So if he had wanted Tony dead, Tony would have been dead.
Exactly.
How about that stairwell scene in that movie, boy? That's my favorite, when they just beating the hell out of all the soldiers coming in there and swinging people, keeping them from dying and stuff. I love that scene. Goodness gracious.
You mean the elevator scene?
No. On the stairwell when they're in Bucky's apartment and
oh yeah,
falling over, and he's like grabbing them, and he's like, man, come on, man, help me out. I'm trying to. Jesus.
Yes, that's like the stairwell scene from season 2 of Daredevil, but taken to 11.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
With superpowers. Yeah. Well, real superpowers.
Yeah, so
Daredevil this.
So I just had to get that off my chest. I'm glad you guys see it my way, you know.
Well, you do pay us, so.
Yeah. Wait, what? So now let's talk about something that no one ever fights about, and that's social media.
Oh.
For those who are familiar with the show, I don't know if you've been listening, Montego, but we started doing our what we call social media madness, where we just take people's replies to our tweets and talk about them. It's a way to interact with our fans a little bit and recap on some of the stories we talked about. So one of our recent episodes, we had talked about the Spider-Man Homecoming trailer, of course. Far From Home trailer. And Spy God on Twitter said that it looks like it's going to be bleeping amazing. Donnie Darko as Mysterio, Nick Fury crashing Peter's European vacation, and more Genki. Oh, that's right. That's the character that Ned is based on in the comics. Sign me up. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of people seem to be excited about, you weren't on that episode. Are you excited for Far From Home?
Oh, yes, I'm at one with Mr. Man here. I forgot his name, but yeah, he's man.
Spy God.
Dude, he knows what he's talking about. This, I mean, the first movie was so good, man. Just, I mean, what else could you want in a Spidey movie, man? You know, I'm a total fan. I love this kid. I love the whole direction that the whole movie went. And now you got this. We discussed this trailer on our show, man. And absolutely, man. It's I can't wait, man. It's poetry in motion with the characters and they're moving on, but they're so smart not to just take it to 6 years later and now he's working at the Daily Bugle. Keep Peter young as possible, man, because it's more interesting, in my opinion, to see this kid just being a kid and trying to navigate having all these powers. It's just, I agree with this cat. I can't wait. Sign me up twice. I want this more and more Spider-Man. And just to mention, I remember all the shows that I would listen to where people would talk about how sick of Spider-Man reboots they were until they did this. And now it's like, you know, everybody's a Spider-Man fan, you know. And then not only that, they do another Spider-Man with Miles Morales, and everybody's a fan of that too. So go eat it. Sit down somewhere.
Well, hey, that Into the Spider-Verse, that was cheating. That was so good. It was just cheating, really. I mean, and I agree with you that, like, as long as that, while Tom Holland still looks like he might possibly kind of could be 18 and still in high school. Yeah. Do that. Yeah. I don't think they'll get another movie out of it though, before they have to move him up into the real world, because he looks young, but he's, I don't know, what is he, 24 now?
And no, he's I think he was 19 when he did the first Spider-Man. Right. So it's been 2 years. So
yeah. So I think he's only
20. No, he's 22 years old now.
Yeah.
Oh, he's 22 now.
Don't worry about it till we get a goatee. Then you gotta make some changes. You know.
No, his problem's gonna be later.
I didn't know we were doing the Dark Universe Spider-Man or the Mirror Universe Spider-Man.
His problem is gonna be later on in his career when he wants to play older people and they still think he looks young because he played a young person.
I don't know. They see his death scene.
But I think Montego hit the nail on the head, where it's like when Stan Lee and Ditko created Spider-Man, they wanted him to be a young kid in comparison to, you know, older established heroes, to be a reflection of that in a kid. And then he's dealing with kids' problems as opposed to adult problems outside. So that's perfect that they brought him into the MCU and keep him young. Keep that contrast going as long as you can. So, yeah.
I agree. It's refreshing to see the kid's point of view in all of this stuff, you know, in all these major scenes. It's just like when he was dying, you know, and he's like, Mr. Stark, Mr. Stark, Mr. Stark. It's like, oh God. The kid is pleading for his life. It's beautiful. I love it. You know, it's great.
I'm not going to mention... Oh, the next story that we talked about, I'm not going to go through all of this because JD and one of our fans got into it a little bit on Twitter. But they were agreeing with each other. And of course, this is talking about the Bill Maher doubling down on his comments about comic book culture. Mm. And Ziggy had replied and said, he's the worst kind of troll.
Hmm.
And then Nerd Buzzed, which is another podcast that we've started interacting with a little bit, came in and said, that's the thing I hate about Twitter, is that they don't order them correct. You know, it's not the order they came in sometimes. Mm-hmm. He said, well, all I can say is after reading the remarks made, such hate slander is scary and from a place of self-admitted ignorance. I don't read comic books. I don't even read them. I didn't even read them when I was a child. It is jealousy, bully cry far. It's a jealousy, bully's cry
for comics. He can't have one. He can have one of mine. Oh, okay. And then he went on for a bunch of tweets about it. And JD came in and said, strange, but every successful piece of fiction is written based on a formula. He was complaining that, he was talking about how, one of the things that Bill Maher said it was formulaic, blah, blah, blah. And JD came and said, okay. So.
Well, everything's formulaic because the Greeks came up with all the great types of conflicts that you can write about.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And over the next 3,000 years, we've taken that to just about every corner of the universe you could imagine. So.
I stand corrected. Nerd Buzz said that he really enjoyed Black Panther, but thought it was formulaic, and then JD was defending Black Panther. So anyway, go ahead.
No, that's it. And as far as Bill Maher is concerned, I think we should be done talking about him.
I think
we came to the agreement that the only reason he was doing that is because his tour was on. He was looking to gin up some, controversy about it, and he got what he wanted. And I don't think we need to talk about him anymore. I think we're done.
Of course, Montego should have a say. What do you
mean?
Bill, who?
I'll make it brief. I mean, when I saw this stuff, I was like, wow, the timing of the whole thing with the passing of the icon, Stan Lee. And then you say these things. And normally, I watch the show from time to time and I enjoy it. And, you agree, you disagree, whatever. But when this happens, it just came off as so cheap. It's like, that's just cheap. And then you're going to keep going more cheap. So, we didn't even talk about it on Fans of Patrol because it was just like, when you're trying to like just drum up just like cheap conversation just for your 5 minutes, what the hell? Get out of here. Try harder next time, dude. And that's how I treated it. Like, I'm not even going to get this juice because this is just somebody who just didn't have enough taste to chill when something, happened to an icon. You just could have just walked, just joined in and just said, hey, you know what? Thumbs up, Stan. We going to miss you. But you had to do this stupid stuff. And so, whatever. And I get it. Everybody makes mistakes. But, cats like this will never admit that they made any kind of wrong judgment or anything like that. They just just double down on it just to, hold their position. So whatever, see you later. And then you had a nerd to be in a Marvel movie. So get out of here,
Exactly.
Well, we here at Superhero Speak do not have any quote unquote standards. So we waded into it with, two paddles and no boat. we don't care. We'll talk about anything.
It's
ugly though.
Okay. Let's talk about something more fun and exciting. And of course, we had talked about the rumors that Black Widow might be rated R. They're just rumors at this point, but Gateway Comics came in and said, if it's just an excuse for naked Black Widow, then no. She's an ex-KGB assassin, though, so it might be a story. It might serve the story. Probably not needed, though.
We've already had rated R Black Widow. It's called Red Sparrow with Jennifer Lawrence.
Oh, I didn't see that. Was that what that really was?
I had one. There was one reviewer I watched who described it as just a doing Red Sparrow without actual Black Widow was just a cheap way of getting a Black Widow rated R movie so they could show a lot of TNA and just guts flying everywhere.
Well, that's what you expect it to be, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, considering our backstory and everything, it's not going to be PG. There's just, if you did it justice, there's no way they're going to earn a PG rating on that.
And then Beck's Showman Crow? I can't wait. Hold on.
What?
Oh, Storm Crow. Rex Storm Crow. Wow. I need to get better glasses. He said, I want two things. I want it to be gritty and badass as male movies but this is a great way to lose key demographics in the under 18. You know it's moneymakers unless you're Deadpool, who comes with a rabid fan base. It seems set up to fail so they can call Wonder Woman and CM failures and not make more female heroes.
Well, I don't know. I'm going to disagree with that, Catman. You know,
yeah, because, me too.
Because I saw more little kids in Deadpool 1 and 2 in the theater.
Yes.
What the hell are kids doing here, man? They were everywhere, man. And I'm like, well, you know, it's over. People don't give a shit no more, and they're going to bring their kids. And, you know, I think it's a shame that all them kids was in Deadpool 1 and 2, but it was – and Venom. It was a bunch of kids everywhere, man. I was just like, well, times has changed. So, no, you're wrong, dude. I'm sorry.
You don't even have to sneak in anymore. You just go up and they don't even really – I don't know that they even – do they ask for, like, ID and check to see if you're 18 when you buy the tickets? Or they just get – they must just get them online and just walk right in.
Some kids do, but I'm talking about it was – kids there with their parents, dude. You know, I'm looking around and seeing adults with little kids running around talking about Deadpool. You're like, oh.
Well, you're talking to a guy whose father, when he got his first VCR, when I was like, what was it, 10, the first videotape that my father bought with us was John Carpenter's The Thing. So 10 years old watching that. You better believe I didn't sleep for a freaking week.
Pop was a fan. He was a super fan. He was like, my movie's back.
Oh, yeah. I was brought up on Godzilla and Creature and all these really – and Alien. And, you know, you name it. I saw it when I was young, when it was out. And, oh, boy.
It explains so much. All these years, I finally understand, John. Okay, this one I don't get, and maybe one of you guys can explain what they meant by this. So we had talked about the Ghostbusters teaser trailer that came out, and Born Scared Studios had tweeted in response, "Smells like Teen Spirit to me." Now,
what?
Yeah, obviously that's a Nirvana reference or a grunge reference, but. Do you guys get what they meant?
Nope. Next.
Okay. I mean, I could speculate, but just come up with a bunch of wrong stuff.
Love speculation. Come on, let's hear it.
Nah, I got.
Maybe they're talking about the team, you know, with the against the ladies, you know, and now it's the men, you know. I don't know, man.
We can't even speculate on that one.
This is some goofiness, man. I don't know, man.
All right. And then finally, we did talk about Rob Liefeld is returning to the X-Men again. And the Gorilla Brain podcast had replied and tweeted us, we are blocked by him.
Yeah,
let's just say that our fearless leader isn't a fan. I've met the guy. He's a nice guy, but yeah, I mean, he gets picked on a lot, you know?
He's not a little sensitive. I figured he was a little sensitive when I read that comment. Maybe he's sensitive.
He might be, you know?
Dan Slott, he blocked the whole Nerdcap podcast mafia, so I need to check his.
Yes. Yeah,
I need to check and see if I'm unblocked since we no longer, you know, associated. But
we're still blocked. So
we never said nothing about the dude, man. You know, we did a review of Into the Spider-Verse, you know, a run, and we loved it. But I sure did hate the Peter Parker, you know, billionaire Peter Parker story. So
Somebody told me once that he uses like those bots, and so like if you follow someone he has blocked, it'll automatically block you.
Oh, well, that's not smart. Whatever. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's not us, man. We're good.
Yeah, I don't think it's anything personal. Not this time, anyway. So now that we've gone through that, anyone listening, you know, if you want to be part of the conversation, then just follow us on Twitter and reply to our tweets when we tweet out about the different stories we talk about. And we will include you in the next episode. Don't forget, you can also go to superheroespeak.com, buy a t-shirt, listen to the latest episode, see all of the news and reviews that we have up there, and yes. So, speaking of all that stuff, Montego, why don't you tell people where they can find Fans on Patrol?
All right. So for everything Fans on Patrol, you can go to fansonpatrol.com. That's our website. You can reach us if you want to talk to us directly at fans@fansonpatrol.com. That's our email. We are very active on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and, of course, on Fans on Patrol. You can listen to us at, Stitcher, Satchel, Google Play, Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. And we're supposed to be on Pandora and iHeartRadio soon. We're waiting for the approval. And that's it, man. Fans of Patrol.
Ah, yes, we're on all of those as well. So, just like you guys, Pandora. We're not on Pandora yet, though.
Oh yeah, they're doing podcasts now. Oh, I forgot we're on TuneIn too. I always forget about TuneIn.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone goes on there anymore.
No, I don't know either. But if you are, you can listen to us both.
Well, there you go. So we had just talked about Rob Liefeld returning to X-Men. Also, we got two Rob Liefeld stories here. First off, webcomic, Shrink, is being turned into a movie by, who is it? Sony. So, have either of you ever read Shrink?
No.
So it's basically, well, if you read the news article attached with what I sent. Oh, anyway, it's about a psychiatrist who deals with superheroes, and it's kind of a comedy thing where they're, you know, each one ends with, there's like puns thrown in and jokes and stuff. So, and it's a web comic and they're usually pretty short. So I'm kind of seeing how they're going to turn that into a 2-hour movie. Like, I could see him turning into a half-hour sitcom, but a 2-hour movie, we shall see.
You kind of need kind of a plot with some action in it, and that doesn't sound like the plot of the actual source material.
Yeah, I think it's just because of Deadpool, he's riding high on that popularity right now from the movies, you know, and...
Well, you get one vanity project out of that, definitely.
Hey, you know what? Hey, if people are willing to say we want your properties and make them into movies, more power to them, right?
Yep.
But he has also come out and said that he's getting ready to write his final Deadpool story. He's not killing off Deadpool. He just won't be writing anymore. What do you think about that? Like, are you sad he's going to walk away from the character forever? Or do you think he's walking away, but if another idea comes up, he'll try to write another one? Want to take it away?
Well, I think people make a lot of goofy mistakes, man. And, you know, if I'm people and all I have to do is say, what you talking about, Willis, for the next year? I'm going to say, what you talking about, Willis, man? Like, for the years, I mean, I understand people trying to, like, you know, branch out and do different things. You know, Shrink, I agree with you. I don't know how far you can go with that. I mean, part of the success of, I think the biggest success of Deadpool is because he's in Marvel Universe and familiar things.
Mm-hmm.
This might not be, I don't know, man. I mean, right, where plot, where's the story? You figure out something, I guess you can do something with that. But one way from Deadpool, I mean, he'll walk away to paycheck stop. And then when the paycheck stop, he'll be right back. I mean, why would you, you know, turn away your creation? You know, let other people play in the movie, I can understand that. You know, but... I just couldn't imagine creating something and completely turn my hand off of it. So I was like so old that, you know, I'm out of the thing. But this is a pretty cat.
Yeah.
You know, so keep doing your thing and make sure you shepherd your kid. You want to shepherd no more. You know, like Lucas, he was like 60-something before he, you know, took his hands off of Star Wars. And then he was mad at it, you know?
Well, everybody wanted to hand off Star Wars, though.
Yeah, it's true. But I'm just saying. Yes.
I mean, Jar Jar Binks. That's all you need to know, right?
Yeah, that's true. You came up with that and you're like, damn, what is he doing? You
know? He said this is going to be his definitive and last word on Deadpool. So, and
yeah.
That sounds a little ominous, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, and the paycheck stuff, you know.
I don't, because a lot of authors that I follow have gone through this times in their lives where it's not just writer's block that makes it hard for them to write stories about characters they used and created and lovingly brought through a whole series of books. It's that they get slightly burned out, and maybe they want to try something new. And like Jim Butcher is a good example. He's done a few series that, three series now. Halfway through the Dresden Files, he started with the Buccaneer series.
I know, but I just wanted to finish. Oh, anyway.
Everybody wants him to finish, but he had medical problems and he got married. But the thing is that, you know, a lot of authors do this where they want to try something new, they get tired out, and you know, okay, so they take a break and then they come back. Now, with comic books, that means you hand your character over to somebody else. That is probably going to be grating, but you know, what do you do? This is the business these days, right?
Yeah.
So maybe he'll go back to it later once he's recharged and gotten, you know, got his creative juices flowing and gotten to write a few other things and maybe had time to germinate some new storylines and plots that he really wants to give a go at.
Yeah. That's true.
That's the point. I couldn't imagine writing Deadpool every month. You know, I mean,
yeah,
it's not like Thor, you know, where you can go to other realms and follow a integral story or something like that. You know, Deadpool is one slapstick joke after another, you know.
But even so, at some point you're going to run out of ideas and you got to think. If you look at like the Star Wars extended universe, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, not all of those were gems, but there were some really good stories in there that could not have all been written by the same person because, you know, good stories are usually written from many different points of view and you know, other takes on the character that maybe you didn't think about. Or again, if you're constantly doing it day in, day out, you're going to get to a point where, look, you know, I've had this guy do everything.
Yeah. And
from my life experience, at this point, I'm going to start pulling the old soap opera. Okay, well, his evil twin comes back. No, not that evil twin, the other evil twin. And it's like, you know, it's just, you got to take a break. So maybe other people will come up with some new takes on Deadpool we don't expect and maybe we'll really like. Or maybe old Jar Jar may sit in line, will come back, slap up the head, take the kicker back over.
My goal is doing a big job of my creation. No, he's writing better than me. That would let me.
But I guess on the good side of things, it's our favorite work with all, Bob Iger's come out and said that they continue making R-rated Deadpool movies.
Not happy about that. What does R rating mean to the mouse?
That's the question, isn't it?
My decision. That's what I say is that you know.
Well, they go ahead.
No, I was just saying they said they would never do it. You know, and now here we are. We made a decision that we're gonna keep going because I guess Deadpool was the biggest, most successful thing, one of the most successful things coming from Fox that you're like, what are you gonna do? You know, it's hot stuff right here. You guys gonna keep this going or are you gonna shut it down because you're Disney? You know, so I'm happy to see that they at least made a decision. They're gonna keep going with it. You know,
yeah, you know what that means. It means that there's a chance we could see Deadpool on Avengers or something later on.
So Jim Carrey would say in Dumb and Dumber, so you're telling me there's a chance.
Yeah, exactly.
What does R rating mean to Disney? But I think, you know, you guys said it right too. Like, they had to have looked at all the Fox properties and went, with the X-Men stuff and went, Deadpool's the most successful. Like, we can't change the formula because that would just be stupid at this point.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, what, or does it mean that, you know, it gets released under one of their other, studios and
they... Yeah, we are totally not the Mouse Studio, right?
But here you go.
Well, it's like, you know, they own Miramax and they've owned them for years and people didn't realize that. So, you know, they could, you know, put out, what was it, all the Kevin Smith stuff that was through Miramax. Disney owned them when they did that, you know?
Didn't they own Touchstone too back in the day?
Yes.
I think so.
So, I mean, that's one of the ways they got away with putting out those kinds of, you know, movies. So,
So mirror maximum effort it is.
Disney, just do your thing. You know, R, PG, 13, PG, just do what you do. And nobody cares anymore about that, you know?
Yeah, exactly. They own so much these days that it's actually going to be a chain that drags them down now. They might as well just get over the fact that they're Disney and just put out R-rated and all the way to G. I mean, who cares, right? They're so big.
Star Wars. Rated R.
Okay, now that I would go see. Are you kidding me?
The one you really wanted.
Yes. Yes. You'll finally see how Hutt's mate. Oh, wait.
Oh, God.
We don't want a Deadpool version of Star Wars. Okay, wait. Now I want a Deadpool version of Star Wars. All right. So,
before John faints, the other good news that's come out related to Disney and the Marvel Universe is Chris Pratt confirmed they are going to be using James Gunn's script for Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
So Gunn's script is good enough for them, but Gunn himself isn't. Doesn't that mean that, I mean, they're going to use the script, but it was the script and the direction that made the movies good? And you could have the script, but the director might have a quote-unquote different vision.
Well, I think the Russos did pretty good with those characters, you know, in Infinity War. So if you got the paper.
True.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those moments on the show that I'm really upset that JD's not here because he's worked in film. But I kind of think that, yeah, by the time you get to the third movie, everyone knows what they're doing. So it's not necessarily about the direction of the actors, but maybe the way scenes are filmed will feel different. You know, the visuals that he uses might be different. I don't know. I mean, it's tough to say. We'll have to see, right?
Well, it depends on whether you get a director that, you know, lets the actors say, hey, you know, this isn't the way we were going to play it. We always play it this way. Or you get somebody like Uwe Boll. So,
we will do it my way. It's going to be great.
There was a movie that just came out not that long ago we talked about. I can't remember what movie it was. And the Spielberg is one of the executive producers on it, not the director. And I can't remember. The director was saying, what?
Go ahead.
The director said that every day he would get notes from Spielberg on, like, shoot the shot like this, do that. You know?
I heard the story. I can't remember which movie it was.
Yeah, it was a recent movie. And it was just like, so he, like, at the end, he's like, I didn't really direct it. Spielberg directed it.
Who did this? I remember reading this.
Everyone is now screaming at their phones. It was, but I'm wondering if they could do something like that as well. Like, get one of Gunn's friends to come and sit in the seat, but have Gunn just say, well, do this and do this and do this. You know, shadow direct it.
Yeah, just have a, we did this at one of the places at work. We had a computer with, it constantly video Skyping with a guy who is like way off site somewhere on the other side of the country. And they just had the tag underneath it just said Bob. And then there's the little camera above it. So, you know, anytime you just walk over, hit the button and Bob would pop up on the screen. How are you doing? Maybe they can just have Gun, just have a computer in the corner with Gun on it.
Or do the rich man swallow your pride and give him a pseudo name and
there you go.
Directed by Bob so and so. It's really James Gunn directing the whole movie. We're sorry we fired you. But we can't admit that we're wrong.
Bob Pistol.
Yeah, Bob Pistol. Nobody'll ever know.
No one. But speaking of Guardians of the Galaxy, we have a little bit of sad news related to Guardians. Oreo, the raccoon, who was the model for the digital version of Rocket Raccoon, recently passed away. I believe he was 10 years old. And, and if you see pictures of this raccoon, I'll include one in the description of the episode on the website. In fact, there's a famous picture of James Gunn at the premiere with the raccoon on his shoulders. Like, you could see the face is exactly the face they used for Rocket. So
nice. Well, if you get depressed about that, go watch the anime called Rising of the Shield Hero and have fun with Raph Talia. And so, anime people will get that.
So Montego, you have any passing words for Oreo, the raccoon?
I'm just going to grab my drink here and I'm going to pour out one for my homie Oreo on a curb right here. Just, yeah, man, one for the homie, you know. Go miss you.
I will go out and knock over my garbage pail tomorrow in remembrance of Oreo.
I think you have to do a 21 gun salute because he was the model for Rocket. You know, Rocket loves guns.
So I'll go out and shoot my garbage pail.
There you go. And
pour it out some liquor on the same day.
Perfect. You hit the nail on the head.
Well, no, I hit the nail with my head. Yes, why I come up with these things, because I'm damaged. But go ahead.
He is my favorite Guardian, though. I mean, even in the comic books, I love Rocket.
Oh, yeah.
You have to.
Or he'll... It's like he said, he's the only one. He's the only one of his kind.
Yes. But you have to love him, or he's going to shoot you.
Yeah, well.
But maybe this news will help lift your guys' spirits. They keep talking about it, and with everything that we know so far, Endgame is clocking in at 3 hours, making it obviously the longest movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. How do you guys feel about a 3-hour movie?
I don't think we need the entire song and dance part with... with Thanos, you know, they could take out a few of the musical numbers, but otherwise, I don't know. 3 hours long. If it's as good as the last movie, I will probably get to the end of it and think it was too short.
Interesting. I thought the last one seemed long, but I loved it. I mean, it wasn't like I was like, oh man, this is getting too long, but it felt like it was, long to me. Mm-hmm. And I don't care, man. I, you know, Gladiator, give me a, you know, what's the William Wallace, give me a long movie any day, as long as it's, you know, you're filling up the screen time. It's going to be the last one. And we just talked about this on our award show, is that it's starting to get sad because, you know, everything is about to change with this, you know, Marvel Universe because mm-hmm. You just know that they're going to get rid of some of the core characters and things, and it's time to move on, and we don't even know which direction they're going to move on. So the longer that movie hang around, the longer you'll feel like your last connection to these characters. I mean, it's been 10 years, fellas, you know, that we've just been just loving this and just, you know, basking in the glory of what we talked about and wish we had as kids, you know, and now it's like we've had 10 years of glory. And you know, not that it's going to come to a total end, but these characters and these actors that, you know, that embody these characters, some of them are going to go their separate ways and stuff. And it's going to be like you lost a friend, man. I mean, how many of us love Tony Stark and Steve Rogers and all the rest of these people? You know, like just we get used to seeing them, you know, and it's not the same when you watch them on DVD, you know.
Yeah, there are going to be some permanent deaths at the end of this one.
But of course.
And that, yeah, you're right. It is the end of an era. You're right. It's like, but are they going to have like ambulances posted at the movie theaters where this is playing? Because the sheer number of burst bladders of people of geeks holding it in because they're trying to make it through 3 full hours after getting a big gulp.
Look, John, that's just you because you're old.
You got the old man going on, huh?
I don't have that problem. I have people who swear I have a hollow leg. So I don't have a problem, but you know, my brother and his friends, they used to go to movies like this. They do what they call a Coke train, where they get the large refill Coke, and then they just keep passing it down the line until it was gone and keep going out and refilling it. And they never made it through, like, the first half hour of any movie that I know of.
I'm going to go, but I don't want to miss it.
Yeah. I'll never forget when we went and took the family to see the second Pirates of the Caribbean movie. And my son was probably 6 or 7 at the time. And it was like, you know, you could tell you're a little more than 3/4 of the way done the movie. And he's like, I gotta go. And I'm like, you know, and this was always a problem. So we always make sure he goes to the bathroom before we sit down and, you know, and all that. And he's like, I'm like, can't you hold? He's like, no.
You try with kids, but that never works.
Yeah, and we get back into theater and I missed like the whole end of the movie. Thank God for TV.
Like, as a kid, like you just wanted to just hurt him. You're like, I can't believe you did this again.
Yeah. That's why the next time I said to my wife, I'm like, it's your turn. You take him. And then finally, the last piece of Marvel news we have this week. Did you guys take a look at the official promo photo that they put out for Endgame? Showing the Avengers. And some interesting little tidbits in this photo. You're paying attention. One of the first ones that other people point out is Captain America is back in, I guess you could say, the Civil War style costume. But he's got the Avenger A back on his shoulder.
I didn't even notice that, man.
Mm-hmm. The armor that Tony's wearing, they said which one it is. It's going to be the main armor in this movie, which is more advanced than the one from Infinity War. And when you look at really? It, it's a very, very much them trying to do a homage to the comic book. You know?
What was the name of that armor that he had? But it was the intelligent nanite armor.
That's what I thought this was. And this in Avengers Infinity War, I thought the nanite armor.
It was close, but it wasn't. It wasn't quite. And there are storylines with that. I can't remember the name of the armor though. There are storylines where it wasn't just an armor. It was like a power. It was some kind of drug that powered him up, like gave him almost like a super soldier serum for himself too.
You're talking about like the Extremis stuff.
Yeah, Extremis, right?
Right, which they turned into something different in the movies, but in the comics, it was like a virus which allowed him to directly communicate with the computers with like and technology with his mind, and that's what armor would start flying. Yeah, he became a technopath, That's when the armor would like fly onto him. You know, or grow out of his, you know, look like it was growing out of his skin. Yeah.
Which is what he was doing with the last one. So this updated armor, I guess I'm not as familiar as I thought with the Iron Man stuff. So is there something between, like, the full power Extremis and the last armor he had? Because I don't see much daylight between those two.
Mm.
That makes him pretty damn freaking powerful. I mean, Extremis is like, he literally could go toe-to-toe with Thanos in a lot of ways.
Right. But you have to imagine, well, then what's this going to give us? Cause I can't think of anything past Extremis in the comic books either. Maybe Montego knows.
And being one of my favorite superheroes, first comic book I ever bought, but nope. I thought it was the nanite armor. And, you know, I do remember Extremis and, I can't remember anything since then. I think that they switched back to regular, right? Like just,
mm-hmm. I mean, they get other. I mean, there are weird armors. He's got like the God Killer armor and stuff, but those have always been MacGuffins that, you know, or Deus Machinas that they pull out and then they forget he's got after a while. So,
right.
I don't know. What else? Like, I see that the Hulk is wearing the expandable suit.
Not only that, if you take a close look at his face, he's not as
Hulked out
or savage looking as he has been in the last couple movies. So
less powerful, but more intelligent.
So there's
Daredevil. Wasn't it him and Daredevil that was a team for a while? when he was wearing that suit? Or was it someone?
No, yeah.
They were S.H.I.E.L.D. It was when he had that suit, that type of suit on. I thought it was Daredevil.
Yes. And then, but I mean, all the rumors have been that this, we're going to have Hulk in this movie. And that's.
Oh, really?
That's what it looks like. So.
I was hoping for Worldbreaker Hulk myself, but you know, whatever.
Well, no, he would need Professor Hulk because that's how Thanos whooped his cheeks in that first scene. You know, he's just as strong, but just he had tactics and he had a brain other than just beating hell out of something. You know, so he got owned and and then he got like impotent after that and couldn't come out no more.
Yeah, but wouldn't Worldbreaker? I mean, again, not as familiar with the Marvel stuff as the DC, but wouldn't Worldbreaker Hulk be a good match for Thanos with the Power Stone?
But Worldbreaker Hulk is so savage that no one can, you know, control him or get through to him. He's just on a war path. Like, there's no stopping.
What would be a good match for him? Because he was, you know, he was not smart, but he was still very cognizant of everything that was happening. Yeah. You know, with you got the Queen, and damn, they should make that a movie and not just a quick scene in Thor.
Yes. Oh God. Yes.
Right. So, like, what else? I mean, you've got Ronan, right?
Yeah, like you have Hawkeye in his definitely in his Ronan costume with, but looks like he's still holding a bow, not a sword. And if you look at Black Widow, her hair's red in a ponytail, but the ponytail is blonde, and I think that's like an indication that a lot of time has passed, that her hair has grown back to her original color, and. I'm sorry, what were you saying?
No, I wasn't saying anything. I did not notice that. I'm like, man, y'all really looked at this thing. I just saw it. I've been looking at this for about a week. I'm like, okay.
Well, we're both programmers. We're used to looking for really minute detail and then calling people on it. But
there you go. Mission accomplished.
Yes. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot, like, you know, I also have begun to realize that the people who put these things together like to throw stuff out there to see if people catch it, and sometimes it doesn't pan out to anything. But
well, yeah, just remember in the promos for the Infinity War, they had the Hulk on some of those promos, and we know he wasn't there.
Yeah, they did the whole march and scene and fight scene had Hulk there, and it never showed up. Wow.
Well, don't forget, there's a fan theory. Which you can also find is a rant from back in May of last year, an article on our website. Just look for Marvel Smokescreens was the name of the article that I wrote. That scene from the trailers is actually an Endgame, and that it is a time travel movie, and then they redo the end scene, but now he's the Hulk. He's not just...
Interesting.
You cracked the code. That's it. That's you damn right. You cracked the code. It's gonna happen.
Are we spoiling stuff? I don't want to be spoiled in this movie. I actually want to see this whole thing clean.
This is just a complete theory out of left field, but
crack code. Watch and see. That's what's gonna happen. Just like Tifflebot when on our show, she cracked the code. She said, "Oh, everybody left at the end. They're going to be dead at the end of the last movie." And I said, God damn, Tifflebot, for real?
Well, we have, I mean, that would corroborate other rumors that we've heard where they've seen on set them wearing their older versions of their costumes and the sets being that of older movies. So, yeah, we know that's going to happen.
Haven't had any time travel in the Marvel Universe so far.
Nope.
And I read a recent article. I think Sam Jackson jacked up and started and told people that Captain Marvel, this Captain Marvel, is a time traveler.
Yes.
So, yeah, there you go. You guys, congratulations, guys. Everybody's mad at you now.
Don't worry. When Doctor Who shows up, everybody will be happy.
Well, speaking of people being mad, it's time for us to cross the aisle to DC. And John, you have a lot to apologize for this week. For those who don't know, John is our chief DC apologist.
I get a lot of practice.
So this first article, like, I saw this and I'm like, are you kidding me? They're going to do an Aquaman spinoff movie that's a horror based on the trench scene from the Aquaman movie.
Just based on the trench scene. Okay, yeah, sure. Guys, you know, you gotta stop getting your cocaine from Mike down the street. Where, you know, you've got the bad stuff. There's too much cut in it. You're just gonna have to like put this away now.
So that's a no just, from you, John.
go do another Transformers movie. Get it out of your system, please. Just.
Is that a movie that would interest you, Montega?
What, The Trench?
Yeah.
The comic book was dope. And actually, I mean...
Wait, there was a comic book?
It was in the comic book, yeah. That Trench scene, you know, the stuff in Aquaman.
Oh yeah, but there. I thought you meant there was an actual comic book called The Trench or something.
No, in Aquaman, that little run, it was, you know, that was beautiful stuff, and I think they did a really good job in the movie at, like, you know, showing the essence of that race and stuff. But I don't know how you make an entire movie, you know, especially the article was specific in saying that no returning cast members would have anything to do with this movie. Then what the hell are you doing? You know, so
yeah,
we're a little weird. It was dope stuff, though, in the movie, man, you know, with the onslaught of just all those damn fish men. But I don't know how you do a whole movie about it.
You know what? It'll be a sequel to The Shape of Water.
And it'll also terrible. Don't well, show who hated it, but I did.
Yeah, but I would welcome Guillermo del Toro to the DC Universe. That would be interesting.
It could be.
That would. Absolutely.
But yeah, I'm with you, John. I don't know what they're snorting over at Warner Brothers to say, yeah, let's, you know, that scene from Aquaman, let's do a whole movie based on that.
Let's do a whole movie.
That's like, you know, that's also like the kind of people who sit around and say, you know what? Let's make an entire TV series based on, Alfred from the Batman, universe way before he's ever met Batman.
Those are the same guys that keep saying every year, you know what? We can go one more season of Supernatural, right?
What is it, like 17 or something like that now?
15. They're up to 15, I think.
15.
Yeah.
I remember when that first started with Smallville was on. Goodness gracious. They still
so they released their first picture of Jack Bannon as Alfred Pennyworth from the Pennyworth TV series. And I thought was, are they rebooting him? Is this guy playing Penguin Head?
He does look like
him. I don't understand. This is like, I just don't get it.
Well, you know, first of all, you're not really saying this right, Dave. You know, this is the sexy young Alfred is the way it keeps being marketed. Mm-hmm. Sexy Alfred. So you got to add the sex in there. And I don't know, man. You did Alfred. See, I am a Gotham fan. I know a lot of people either hate it or love it. But I love – my most favorite character on there is the Alfred Pennyworth because he is rough and gruff but still, you know, British and whatnot. And that's what you needed. I mean, we don't need to see how he got there. Whatever. You know, I'm going to watch it because it's super cool. but it still might not be good. I don't think it's going to be good.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm looking at this picture. I'm trying, but he looks like a whinier 007. I don't know, man. It's just.
I mean, we'll watch at least the first episode to give the show a chance. I don't have an interest in it, though. I mean, this is like.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, right? Isn't it? I mean, like, there's. What could they possibly give us that we'd want to see?
I mean, I know you watched it a little bit, John. Montego, did you watch Krypton?
Dude, I'm like, I thought it was only me. I love Krypton. I watch it. I don't care.
I Krypton is not Gotham. Krypton is pretty good, actually. It's not great, but it's good.
The story is good. Mm-hmm, yeah. I agree.
See?
So you liked it, too. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, there's two of you. Oh, no.
Right, it's two of us, man. I knew I was alone in this thing.
When at the end of the first episode, when I can't think of the character's name, the time traveler showed up with Superman's cape, and it was fading out of reality.
Yeah,
they lost me right there. I'm like, really?
Adam Strange, man. It's better, dude. I'm telling you, the story is really, really good, man. And you know, it looks like a soap opera. You just got to get over that. But the story is good. I'm telling you,
it's entertaining. You know, I mean, yeah, okay. It literally is a soap opera, really. You know, because you're always going to get. In order to make it viable, they're going to have all these weird reveals. They're going to have to play around with time a lot. And you're going to get the, you know, is he your clone or you from 3 days ago type situations or whatever. But the writing is good enough that it makes it interesting. And, you know, in the end, it won't matter because, you know, the plant's going to blow up at some point.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's well enough written, you know?
All right.
They gave Krypton a really rich history. I can say that.
They did.
You know, it's pretty rich. So I'm like, I'm a fan. I don't care what nobody say. You know, it's a guilty pleasure. I don't care.
I'm going to put this to the audience. All right. Like, number one, are you guys excited to see Pennyworth, you know, or you like me and you don't see the point? And Krypton, is anyone out there else besides John and Montego watching it? And what do you think? You know, tweet it at us, send it, put it on our Facebook page, you know, let us know what you think. What were you going
to
say?
Dude, they're out there. They just don't want to. Nobody wants to admit it. They're watching Krypton, but they're there.
And our last little piece of DC news, this one will make John happy.
I am so happy right now.
Bruce Timm is giving us another animated DC movie. It's the Justice League versus the Fatal Five. And all the Justice League voices, including Tim Conroy, are coming back. Or Kevin Conroy.
Kevin Conroy.
Are coming
back. Susan Eisenberg is Wonder Woman. George Newbern is Superman. Let's see.
Oldies but goldies here, man.
Yeah, but it's all the original character designs, and with Bruce Timm at the helm, I am not worried about the plot line. It's going to be freaking good. This series of animated movies, there's only been one misstep. It was Superman versus Brainiac. That was utterly horrible, and the voices were so off from what you were normally used to that. You know, especially Lex Luthor is that you took you right out every time you watched it. But these, every time he was on scene. But this is going to be good, and it's got a mix of characters that, like I said, we haven't seen. Mr. Terrific, which actually he appeared in a couple of the episodes of Justice League Unlimited.
Mm-hmm.
You know, super is the original Mr. Terrific, super smart with the T-balls and. Enhanced strength and all that. And then you got Miss Martian, and it looks kind of like some of these might be from Young Justice, but that isn't technically part of this canon, but it looks like they might have borrowed a few with like Miss Martian and all that. So I don't know. I think this is going to be awesome. They usually do really, really good. I don't know why they don't have Jon Stewart or The Flash. But, you know, because you always got to have a Flash.
It's not the Mr. Terrific from Arrow then, right?
No.
Thank God. Goodness gracious. That clown. Goodness gracious. Just bumbling and fumbling and getting his ass whooped in every fight. Goodness gracious.
Yeah, he's
everyone fight.
Who
ever.
I think it's... Was it Joey on So Wizard? It's like the fastest cornrows on TV. Like he's got his hair out and then he changes and they're recording. It's like, how does he do that?
Every brother I know, it take like 2, 3, 4 hours for him to get cornrows.
Let's suit up. We'll meet out front in about 5 hours after finish.
So Mr. Terrific can get his ass whooped because that's all that's about to happen. He's about to get beat down over here.
I want the episode where they reveal he's actually bald and they're two different wigs.
Oh, poor fella. He get beat up in every show, man.
Yes, he's not very terrific.
Yeah, but the official canon, he is pretty powerful, and he is one of the smartest members of the Justice League, to the point where fighting him is just you might as well just give up, not because of power, but just because he will outthink your ass.
Dude, they turned him into such a goober, man.
It's like, yeah, they did.
Exactly what you just said is what I was expecting. And then they had this dude come out there talking about he's an Olympic gold medalist, which makes supposed to make him a badass, you know.
But then he's like Worf on the old Star Trek Next Generation. You think, oh, right, there's a Klingon. He's the head of security. This is going to be awesome. Why did he get knocked on his ass again? It's like every single episode. It's just like this.
It took him to go to Deep Space Nine before he became a true badass.
Yeah. Until he got written into his contract. But, yeah, you're right. The Mr. Terrific on Arrow, even as an Olympic athlete, he should be doing more awesome stuff than this. I mean, it's supposed to be an ensemble cast, so they shouldn't have any problem writing him doing some cool things and saving the day once in a while. But he is just useless.
He's the worst. That's for sure. He's the worst. I can't stand him. Just like you.
But having said all that, Mantega, are you excited for the Justice League versus Fatal Five?
You know, I got the what do you call that thing? The movie that it was extra scenes on the Superman, Reign of the Superman.
Yes.
And me and my daughter watched it, and she doesn't remember watching the Legion of the Superheroes cartoon. I was like, man, you guys used to watch that every weekend and stuff. I used to watch it, and we used to love it. And when I saw it, I'm a mild fan of the Legion of the Superheroes. I'm not that big of a fan. It was just like, it's cool because it's superhero stuff. The fact that they were all teenagers and stuff always bothered me because I just, you know, get out of here. You know, you don't even have enough life experience. You know, it just bugs me. And so when they did this, I said, okay, I remember these as the bad guys. I'm hoping to be delightfully surprised. I'm totally giving it a chance, but I'm not really that big of a fan of those villains in that time era. You know, it just never really impressed me that much. And I didn't even realize that those characters had such a rich history in comics. You know, I thought it was something that was invented in like the 2000 era and didn't even know mm-hmm. that they had books and stuff. And, you know, I was like, oh shit, how did I miss this all this time? But I did. And so, you know, it looks good, you know, from the stuff that I saw in the extra scenes on that movie that I bought and the Reign of the Superman. And so, dude, I'm in. I'm always in. If it's superheroes, hopefully it'll be good. I think it's only a couple of those that I really didn't like. And that was the steampunk Batman. I didn't really care for that. And I didn't care for that thing they just did with the old book where Barbara Gordon gets assaulted. What was that? Bruce Tim.
The Joker book.
The Killing Joke.
The Killing Joke.
Nobody liked their that animated version because, well, you know, the bat boning.
What the hell was that? I'm like, what the dude?
That wasn't even part of the original.
Not at all.
Why would y'all even do that? It didn't even serve the story. It had more power that he was a father figure to her than the boyfriend. So I was so pissed with that. But you know, whatever. Those are the only two I didn't really, really, really care for that much. I even liked the stuff with Superman, with those villains we never seen before. The guy with the British accent and stuff. I forgot the name of that movie. There's so many of those damn movies now. You guys know which one I'm talking about? We was fighting a group of super villains, and the one guy had the accent, and I don't know. They were beating the hell out of Superman. Anyway.
That's a lot. That describes a lot of different storylines.
I can picture like, what you're talking
that's
about.
That's every other week.
Shoot. Darn it. I can picture it now, and I can't think of what.
You know what I'm talking yes. about, right?
Oh. Weren't they fighting on the moon in that? In one scene?
In the moon.
Most of the thing they did was on in the city streets and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember that character's name, but they came off as heroes at first, and everybody thought they were heroes, and then next thing you know, they turn out to be villains.
Oh, I know which one you're talking about. And that was, shoot, he's on the new Supergirl, too. The British, something black.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, fellas. It's stuck in the brain on the show.
Give me a second. I've got Manchester Black, right.
Yes.
Only in this storyline, he was there with Hat and two other people. I forget their names. And yeah, I know that I have that Blu-ray downstairs, and I can't remember what the name of it is. I've got so many of them. But that was one of the most epic battles I've ever seen. That was done very well.
Superman versus the Elite.
Yeah, the Elite, right.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't like that one.
Yeah, and if you like the old-timey stuff, check out Justice League New Frontier.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. That's one of my favorite ones.
Yeah.
They actually, one of the characters says a line that my grandfather used to tell me all the time. He says, real men wear pants. When he was talking to Martian Manhunter, my grandpa used to say that to me all the time. So I don't wear shorts ever.
The things that affect you when you're a kid.
Exactly.
Wow. All right.
You got to make watch that one, John. I swear that was a good one.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I agree.
Let's do one last story. Cause wow, we've been going for a while now. And of course, being from Philly, we have to talk about the new Aladdin trailer where they finally revealed, Will Smith as the genie.
So we have our first contender for the Razzies for 2019.
So I was going to say, so being a native Philadelphian, there is an unwritten law that we are required to go see every Will Smith movie that comes out. So
good thing I'm from Connecticut.
So I will go see this movie. However, right, you're from Connecticut, Montego, you're not from Philly. So what do you
Cleveland?
Cleveland, Ohio. So what do you guys think? Did this make you want to see the movie, or you go, what the hell are they doing?
I mean, go ahead, Matthew.
Well, I'll say this, man. I'm not going to help. The Disney stuff, man, they lost me with Beauty and the Beast, only because the first couple that I've seen, I thought, you know, oh, this is great. You know, and then it hit me with Beauty and the Beast. I said, this is nothing but the cartoon in live form. It's like scene per scene almost, you know. And so I kind of lost interest in it. And then when this Aladdin stuff came, you know, wow, this looks exactly like, you know, you expect it to look just like the other movies. It's scene per scene. And I said, it's not for me. It's for little kids. Mm-hmm. This is a new cartoon. So, you know, back off. So if I view it as, this is for little kids because it's their new cartoons, then it's fine. But I tell you, I saw the Entertainment Weekly shoots, and I was like, wow, it looks great. The costumes, everything looks beautiful. And they show Will Smith, and he looked like just a regular African-American dude with a little genie suit on. I was like, oh, this looks cool. I think the biggest mistake that they could ever make in the history of cinema was turning this dude blue. And giving him that creepy move as a genie that we saw in the trailer. What the hell was that? I said, damn, this dude looked creepy. Shit. Just floating, looking silly, like his face don't really fit the body. That's what I got to say, man.
How about you, John?
The reason why the original worked was because of Robin Williams. There is nobody else that could have done the genie that way. Nobody else that would have done the genie that way, but nobody who would have gotten the reaction that he got from his portrayal of that character. And it was such a good characterization that, like, even in the TV show, the spinoff TV show that they did, they had, I think it was Scott Wenger. Mm-hmm. I hope I'm saying that right. That did the voice, and all he spent the whole thing basically just trying to do stick, a la, Mork and it just, you know, you can't replace Robin Williams. So obviously with this trailer, you could see that they've rewritten the part to be a vehicle for, well, the Fresh Prince, basically. And I don't know how that's going to work. And I like the other remakes they've done. I just don't think there was a need for this at all. There was no need to see this in live action because the original still stands on its own. This is a cash grab. That's all it is. And it's with Will Smith. Luckily, it's not Shyamalan, because when you get Smith and Shyamalan together, things go really bad. But still, I probably won't go to the movies to see this. I'll probably just wait for it to be on Netflix or, you know, on demand or what. Well, Disney's Disney's paid for per view or whatever. But I don't see any need for it at all. And I don't know how kids reacted very well to Robin Williams, because he's just out there and he had such a youthful energy. Will Smith, at his age, okay, you can still pull the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air shtick, but is that going to ring true with kids? I don't know. Maybe some, but not all.
I have a feeling that Will Smith is probably the same age Robin Williams was when he did the voice of the genie.
I was thinking the same thing. And
two different people, though.
The kids are different now these days. They're not into what we're into, you know? That's
true.
It feels like they did the Jungle Book and they had success with that. Then they all of a sudden they went around, okay, let's make all our old movies, remake them now live action. And it didn't really, it's like you said, John, it's a cash grab at this point. And they're trying to do it. Seems like they're trying to do it as quickly as possible to get them out before people realize what they're doing.
What are we doing? We in a theater watching this.
but that's the thing too. Like, once I saw the clip and it's like, wait a minute, they're doing a CGI Will Smith in the movie. So then, no offense to Will Smith. Cause again, I'm a fan and I've probably seen every single one of his movies.
I'm a fan too.
But then why even do Will Smith? Why not, you know, get the recording from the original movie and then just use that and create a CGI genie that looked like the one from the cartoon, you know?
And just use his voice.
And just use the Robin Williams, voice. Like
that would be hard. I don't know if that would be technically feasible considering the difference in sound quality that they would need. Yeah.
And but still different too, you know, cartoon.
Yeah. This is right.
Yeah.
But
so, yeah, I don't know. This is a tough one. And I kind of wanted to see more as well. Like that just 2 seconds at the end that was almost, it was almost really bad CGI as well.
It was horrible. It looked creepy.
Yeah.
And it comes out in 2 months, man. So it's not for you, fellas. That's, you know, just look at it that way. It's not, even though we're comic nerds and stuff, this is not for us. This is for the little bitty kids. This is for them. It's not for us.
Yeah, I was going to say, because my kids are way too old for this as well. So, yeah, I guess they're looking for the 10-year-olds.
Wait. I think I can do this. I think I can do an MST3K on this. Will Smith plays Alan Tudyk as iRobot or iGenie. There you go.
All right. Well, on that.
I mean, that's what it looked like, didn't it? It looked like it looked like iRobot, but with Alan Tudyk's face kind of, it was just, I don't know.
Well, on that
too weird.
On that crickets joke from John, I think we'll put a pin in it for this week. So first, I want to say thank you, Montego, for filling in for JD.
You're welcome, and welcome back next week, JD. Come on back and hold your posse down.
And again, want to
one more time? Tell people where they can find Fans on Patrol.
If you just go to fansofpatrol.com, that's everything. And it'll lead you to everything else we got. Fansofpatrol.com. We got our what episode this week? We did our Oscars. We call it the Fan Awards. So we got the Golden Fans for our best of the best. But it's not like Oscar stuff. We give hottest woman and dopest chase scene and stuff like that. So it's the stuff that real people want to hear, man. Not, you know, some crazy brooding movie with people are being artsy and fartsy. So check us out. AnswerPatrol.com.
Yes, I 100% vouch for these guys. It's one of the podcasts I listen to every week. And
thank you, sir.
And yeah, I can't wait to listen to that one. So on.
Glad to have you on, man.
Appreciate it, man. I love coming on. Have me again. Y'all got to come on our show, both of y'all, man. That'd be beautiful, man. Dave, a few times.
You wouldn't want to ruin your podcast like that, would you? Please. Let the riffraff in? Jeez.
We love riff and raff.
Oh, both of them. Oh, gee. Wow. You really are.
All right. Okay. Well, you invited us on our show, so we have to say yes. We definitely will do it. All right, boys and girls. Well, on that note, as always, thanks for listening. And don't let your cape caught the door. Have a good week.